turn in your Bibles to the Gospel of Matthew, the first book in the New Testament. Last month, Pastor Gloria and I were talking about the Sermon on the Mount, and I want to go back at that a little bit today. We're going to do a brief survey before we actually get to the message of Matthew here a little bit. You know, Jesus shows up at Christmas, is born, and then he starts picking disciples, and then he gets baptized himself, and then he goes out into the wilderness and tempted of the devil. And then these words in Matthew 4:23 are uttered. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease from among the people. He came on the scene, and what he did was preach the gospel, the good tidings, the good news, the amazing, wonderful message of there's a kingdom. That's what he was preaching. All right? And so that's what they said he was getting ready to do. And then we have the Sermon on the Mount, which is Matthew's chapter 5, 6, and 7. It's this great sermon. And we look in chapter 5. Now, this is where the survey starts. So get ready to scroll and flip. We see the Beatitudes. And when we remember Pastor Gloria's message, we realize the Beatitudes are not about keeping rules. It's an inside job. It's not what you manifest on the outside. It's what you are doing on the inside, what's true on the inside about you. And then Jesus starts picking off different commandments from the Old Testament. You've heard it said of old that you shouldn't murder, you shouldn't have adultery. And then he gets to the heart of the matter. It's an inside job. It's not about just keeping the rules. It's your attitude and what you think about these things. It's an inside job. Then he says, he teaches, they say, well, how do we pray? Okay, well, don't pray like the religious folk pray. See, because they're not worried about the inside job. They're worried about what's happening on the outside, what's observed of men, not what's seen of God. So he teaches them to pray, and he says, pray like this, our Father. And so you know that. He says, let what's going on in heaven happen down here. That's a prayer. And so this is the survey we're skimming through, right? And then he says, you know, don't lay up treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy. That's in verse 19. You should be thinking about what you're storing in heaven, not what toys you are gathering here. Not saying there's anything wrong with the toys, but it's the attitude. It's the inside job. Okay? And then he says in verse 25, chapter 6, verse 25, he says, therefore, I say to you, don't worry about your life. Now, that's an inside discipline, to not worry about your life. Because the kingdoms of this world, that's all we do, is worry about our life. What we're going to eat, where we're going to live, who we're going to be with, how long is it going to happen, what we're going to wear, what we're going to drive, what we're going to look like, who's going to be our neighbor, What does Dr. Phil say about it? What does Oprah say about it? What does my neighbor say about it? What do you say about it? Yeah. Worry, 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 worry about this life. That's the attitude of this world, this kingdom. But if we're going to be not religious and not of this world, we have to have that kingdom perspective. Yeah. And if Jesus came preaching the kingdom, these are the perceptions, these are the concepts, these are the attitudes we want to have. Yes, sir. So he says, we know this verse. But seek ye first the kingdom of God. So don't worry about all these things. Don't let all your energy and attitude and attention be to the accumulation of these things that God, who loves you, already knows you need. So inside, are you trusting or you're not trusting? I'm going to take care of you. You know, we've even heard it said that, you know, the lilies of the field, they ain't working. The birds of the air, they're taken care of. And in comparison, how much more does God think about you and I? Yeah. And so don't worry about these things that the world is worrying about. And we can get caught up in that. We just had a month of consumer catch-up. Whoo, the Thompson's got one, we got to get one. Yeah. Their child's got one, we got to get three. It's on sale, stand in line at 2 o'clock in the morning. It'll be open next Tuesday. Okay? The world, the world, the world. Not that any of those things are wrong, and for goodness gracious sakes, get it as cheaply as you can.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Okay? But it's the attitude, it's the pursuit that I am going to get in a fight with the guy in line because he cut in front of me. Now, trust me, I know because I work the midnight shift at 911, and when they start gathering in the line, it's a hot mess. Some of the good companies, box stores, have figured out you pass out tickets. And when the door opens, we're going to let you know it's going to open, come up with your ticket, and we'll get you in order then. People can't manage themselves in line. But we're going to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All these things will be added unto us. Okay, so he's saying, he's given us some kingdom concepts and kingdom principles, and he's can I use the word juxtapose? He's comparing it to what the world and also what religion is doing. And so the kingdom is not religion. It's not a system, but there are concepts and precepts in the scripture that are kingdom concepts and principles, and you live by them. You know, we heard in the first service and even in the hallway after the first service that some of us came up in religious systems. Thank God I got saved there. That we couldn't trust you enough to make good decisions, so we just prohibited everything. I can't trust you with that, so it's off limits. Don't go to movies. Because you can't, they're of the devil. You can't make a good decision on entertainment, so no, we don't go. So all those rules. And so Jesus is saying, the kingdom that I'm preaching is different than that. It's not prohibition. And so he's tore some of that down by the time he gets to chapter 7. He's showed you the comparison and showed you that the kingdom is better. And then verse 7, he says, look, don't judge that you not be judged. Now, he's not saying don't evaluate. All through Scripture we're told to evaluate fruit inspectors. What he's saying is don't condemn. Only God has the authority to condemn. So we don't condemn. Now we evaluate. We look at fruit. And we need to evaluate some of our own fruit sometimes. Don't look at your brother's speck in his eye when you got this big old telephone pole in your own eye. Okay? Deal with your telephone pole. And pray for your brother's speck. Okay? And then he's saying, you know, first remove that plank. And then he's saying in verse 7:7, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it shall be opened to you. Which is different than the religious system of the Jews who he's mostly preaching to here. Yeah. All of the hoops and obstacles and rituals and hopings and things we've got to sacrifice and things we've got to do, which taught us things. But he's saying, if you're going to be in the kingdom with Jesus, you got to get to the point where you can just ask. You're going to just knock, because it's about a relationship with a person, a personal God, and not a relationship with a religious God. Okay? So that's leading up to what I actually want to preach about. Two little lonely verses. Verses 13 and 14. And there's any basketball fans, there's a triple-double in these verses. There's a triple-double, three sets of two. Let me just read them. Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go by it. Because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. So the sets of twos are two entrances, two ways, and two groups of people. Now, one of the things that Pastor Pat and I love when we drive around and do some dreaming, and we look at houses that we dream about, we like the entrance ways. Those fabulous doors and the high arch and the side lights that are got just look like they're crystal, and oh my goodness, those entrance ways are just are awesome, and they're appealing, and you see them, and they're just so the entrance is very important to the perspective, to the curb appeal of the house, of the estate, of the mansion. And what we have done as religious institutions representing Christ, we have made the door the most important thing. And we've called it the gospel of salvation. Jesus didn't come preaching the gospel of salvation. He came preaching the gospel of the kingdom. It's holistic. It's all-encompassing. We have spent energy and time and effort. People have come to the door. And we congregate at the door. We get them saved. Now, you know, you show up to somebody's house. You knock on the door. They open the door. You don't just stand there. You don't congregate at the door. And there's two people you'll open your door for. Those people you don't want to come in, you know who they are. They're selling something. And they got their little ID hanging. You're like, I saw you last summer. I didn't want those magazines. I didn't want that whatever last year. I don't want it this year. Or people who you've invited. And you've invited them over to come in, not to stand in the doorway. But we, as unfortunately religious institutions, have spent a lot of time and energy of having these great doorways and having everybody hang out at the doorway and say how great the doorway is. But the reason there's a door is to get into the rest of the house. All right. And so that's what we need to do. That's what the gospel of the kingdom is. It's not just the door. It's the rest of the house. Jesus said, I came to give you life and that more abundantly. That's not just more stuff. It's life. It's living that's got abundance to it. So that's what he came to do. He didn't want us just to stand at the doorway. He wanted us to come in and enjoy the rest of the kingdom. The things that are in the kingdom that we're privy to because we did come to the door. We did believe that Jesus paid for all our sin. And there's nothing we can do to appease God because of our own sin other than trust in what Jesus has already done. He went to the cross. He said it's finished. He took all sin on him. And God was pleased with that. And so if we trust in Jesus, he will make us the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Yes, sir. So we've got access now to the whole house. Why are we standing in the doorway? And I feel like Herb right now. That's my dad's name. Come in or go out. But don't stand in the doorway. And I feel like going to some places and saying, come in or stay out. But don't just stand in the doorway. There's stuff to eat. There's stuff to do. There's people to enjoy. There's things happening in the house. Get off the porch. Get out of the doorway and come in. There's so much to do and so much to enjoy. You know, in the house, the first service really from the exhortations today, the bishop's message of the first service, one of the things that's in the house that I'm trying to encourage people to get access to, find the room in the house where Jesus has given out the peace.
Yeah.
His peace,
yeah.
Not our peace, not peace that the world systems understand, but his peace. He said, my peace I leave with you. Not as the world gives peace, I give it unto you. And the epistle writer said, it's the peace that passes understanding. In other words, you and the people around you who see you at peace don't get it. They do not understand how jacked up your life is and you sitting there like everything's cool. They know when they say, how's it going? They know the answer they're going to get is, oh, man. And you say, it's all good. Man, I thought this was happening. Yeah, it is. Well, I thought that happened. Yeah, it did. Well, what's going on? Now I get to respond with the hope that's in me. Now I get to invite them to the door. Okay? But there's so much in the kingdom to enjoy that we are privy to. The gospel of the kingdom is all-encompassing of our lives. It's not, I always have difficulty saying this word. Let me try it. Compartmentalize. We like to put everything in, thank you, right? We like to put everything in these little things, but our life in Jesus reaches all our compartments. If Jesus isn't touching your married life, if you're married, if he's not touching your raising your children life, if he's not touching your employer, employee, business owner life, you've regulated things that he would love to have access to. Now, first thing is, Jesus and the Holy Spirit are not thugs. They will not take over, but they will help you with anything you say, help.
Yeah.
It's that easy. You know, don't be like, I know when I turned 16 and got my driver's license, I figured I should just, you know, be able to drive whenever I felt like it.
Yeah.
And however, I was not the owner of the vehicle. And the owner of the vehicle had to be approached and asked, can I use the car tonight for choir rehearsal or whatever it was? And unlike God, where will you be going? Who will be riding with you? Now, knowing that I'm a teenage boy, that's the most important question. Who will be riding with you? Because if you're on your own, I can trust you. But if you're going to get Eric and Tom in that car with you, let me think this through. So, but God wants to lavish life on us. And we've allowed the concepts of religion to prohibit us from enjoying life. God created music for our mutual enjoyment. And we've decided that if it doesn't say God, Jesus, or Holy Spirit in it, we shouldn't listen to it. I think back, I'm about to date myself when I got saved, the cassettes that I threw out because I was sanctified that I wish I had now. Okay? The places that are in the earth that are a joy to go to art museums, to things that don't have God's name on it specifically. But God instituted these things that are beauty in the earth for our enjoyment. And we're like, well, if it's not in the church building, if it doesn't have a cross on it, then we should stay away. But that's not the gospel of the kingdom. The kingdom, and I'm going to try to say this right, is kind of a takeover gospel. It's glad tidings that there's a king. There's a king, And the king showed up to said, let's change the program. You know, it's been going this way for so long, but we're gonna change. We're going to make a turn here, and we're going to try to set things right. Now, I'm going to show you, he says, he was here for a period of time to show us how to do life. You know, Jesus, his first miracle was changing water to wine at a wedding feast, because his mom was like, you know, the party's going on. They've run out of wine. help us out here. And so he did. And then, but if you read the Gospels, you look at all his interaction with people who weren't church folk. He ran up into Zacchaeus, who was up in a tree, to see him and said, come on down, man. Come on down here. We're going to hang out today. Oh, we. You know, the clean and the unclean shouldn't be together in religion. But in the kingdom, the clean is not afraid of the unclean. The clean is aware that they're here for the unclean and engages the unclean without becoming unclean. Because we're not scurred. Did I say it right? Okay, because we're not supposed to be scared. We're representing the king. We've heard the good news of the kingdom. We've got the Holy Spirit living inside us. So we're scared exactly why? All right, I'm just trying to figure out if we're all reading the same book. So he says, enter at the narrow gate. Okay, well, here's the deal. There's lots of gates. In the scripture, it says two gates. But there's all kinds of gates saying the same thing or the similar thing. This way to God. You know, you watch the programs. Shame on you. You watch the programs. And they say, oh, yeah, there's more than one way to God. And there's more gods. And you're a god. All kinds of gates. All kinds of ways to get to God. But Jesus says, look. Enter, which is not a recommendation. Enter, which is a military command. Enter at the narrow gate. Now, I think they still have them at the subway. They used to have them at the Jewel. I think they have it at Menards. That turnstile thing that some of us have to go through sideways. But you can't bring anything with you through the turnstile. That's the narrow gate. Jesus is saying, don't bring any of your luggage, any of your foregone ideas. You got to leave all that behind and enter at the narrow gate, which he is establishing what it is. He says, so enter in at the narrow gate. Why? For wide is the gate, easy to get through. The gate that leads to destruction. Now, he's assuming that you're rational enough to say, I don't want to go that way. Yeah. It's wide. It's easy. There's no restriction. It's wide. You can just strut on through. Bring all your luggage with you. But Jesus is saying, don't enter at the narrow gate. Enter at the narrow gate. You got to leave your debris and come to me. Remember he said, come unto me. All ye that are getting wore out by either this world or all these religious systems. And come unto me, lay all that down, and I got you. Okay? I'm going to have to write my own message Bible. I like my own version. So lay all that down. So don't go the other way, because that is a wide gate that leads to a broad way where everything is okay. Whatever you do. Now, here's the thing about the kingdom principles. They're not here to make you sad or to restrict your life. The kingdom principles are here so that we can enjoy life to its fullest. You interview some people at the end of their lives. Okay, how many young people got in here? Okay. Was it better to love that one spouse a long time? Or was it better for your life that you had 50? Was it better to your life that you enjoyed a glass of wine with that fabulous meal, or that you got drunk every Friday? Which was better for your life? See, it's not prohibition. It's not restriction. It's these things I know will harm your life, and these things I know, God saying, will help your life. Be with people like-minded. Pray. Talk to me. These things will help your life. So the things that you see in the Bible that religion has made rules are really things that God is saying, this will help you obtain the benefits that I have established for living this life. Do you want to drive a Yugo, metaphorically speaking, or do you want to drive a Hummer, metaphorically speaking? You want the best. And God has given us these principles so that we can live life the best. Not the most restricted, but the best. When you can enjoy, because you know how to treat other people according to scriptures. You've read Proverbs. And you know how to act. You know how to do right. You know how to speak to people. You know how not to be so easily offended. This will help you enjoy life. If you don't believe me, believe God. Okay? Unfortunately, I learned some of these by trial and error. But they will help you. So that's the gospel of the kingdom. It's holistic. It's not just who I am religiously. It's my whole everything. All right? So broad is the way that leads to destruction. And this is the most disturbing clause in this passage to me, is there are many who go in by it. That just really, I wish it wasn't so. I wish there was something I could do to reduce that number. I'll let that lay one right there. Verse 14, because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life. Now, difficult in comparison to the easy peasy, life is easy, broad way, I do what I want to do. Nobody's governing me. I'm doing what I want to do. I'm getting up when I want. Okay. Lived with Herb and Lucille. I was the baby boy, and there were rules. There were regulations. There was curfews. There was all these things. There was chores. There was all this stuff. Then they made the mistake of letting me go away to college, where there was no Herb and Lou. No rules and regs. I was there to manage myself. The words crash and burn come to mind. Those are the only words that I'm going to share. But crash and burn. Because I didn't manage myself. I didn't apply what I had learned from living with them to my own life. Now, there were others that are living on the same floor as me that did. Yeah. They learned the lessons. They had purpose. They knew that if I get this syllabus and get ahead and start reading stuff and start doing my papers and doing my assignments, that eventually I was going to reap some benefits. Amen. All I could see was, this is hell. And the thing that was going to relieve me was that Jack Daniels. And so Uncle Jerry and Uncle Jack got to know each other. And one semester done and out. And it wasn't until years later I was able to go back and get a degree. And not there, they wouldn't let me back there. But there's benefits to this life. And there's things that we need to learn as we go, as we journey together from each other. Turn my own mic off. Maybe that was the Holy Spirit saying, that's enough. Difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. So Jesus is saying, look, enter the narrow gate, enter the one that I'm telling you about. The kingdom life is awesome. It's full of benefits. And maybe if we focus our attention on just trusting God with what he tells us to do and doing it and not trying to see what we're missing out on. That's what kept me from wanting to get saved so many years. All I could see was they couldn't dance. They couldn't go to the movies. Back then, I liked to dance, and I certainly liked to go to the movies. And so I was like, well, I don't want that. I'm already in a religious way, and I'm all good.
Yeah.
At least that's what I thought. So Jesus is saying, enter in at the narrow gate. Enter this place. It's going to be awesome. You don't look at what you're giving up. Look at what you're going to be receiving. And then the final thought I want to say is the life eternal is not what begins at when we die. Life eternal begins the moment you enter the narrow gate. Because eternal life is not just a time, it is a quality. It's the life that he came and said, I come to give you life, and that more abundantly. Amen.